Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins. Hello, you podcast humans. Thank you very much for downloading this special episode. This is a bonus drop for all you fine people out there. And I'm incredibly excited because 23andMe is sponsoring this episode. And I got to do something pretty unique. I mean, it is definitely a conversation with a person that is involved in independent music. That core still exists. But we were able to talk a lot about things that, frankly, I just don't get to talk about within the context of this podcast. So here, let me spell it out for you. So I have Andrew Cannon on the episode today. Andrew Cannon is the brand manager at Santa Cruz Skateboards. He is also the lead vocalist for an amazing band called Worship. You need to find them on all streaming platforms. If you're a fan of heavy music, you absolutely will love Worship. But Andrew and I both took a 23andMe test. We've actually both previously have gone through that process, not only from the you know, the health side of things and the ancestry side of things, but we were just really curious about what this report would tell about us. And it's incredible. The amount of information that you're able to find out via your DNA is really, really cool. And of course, a lot of people that go through these tests are curious about their ancestry, and we talk a little bit about that. But then just the fact that you can find so many different elements of your health that is contained within your DNA is so cool. And this report is enlightening in so many different respects and can inform a lot of choices that you make in the future from your health and everything else that's wrapped up in that. So I was excited to talk about this because I believe the more information that you have about who you are as an individual, not only from a personality perspective, but then genetics plays a huge part in it. And so I was incredibly excited to work with 23andMe and team up with them to bring you this particular episode. Andrew and I talk about our own musical DNA, where we just basically nerd out about how we got into independent music. And I talked to Andrew a lot about that. And then we wax philosophic about a lot of different elements within, just kind of why we live our lives and why we want to know as much as humanly possible about who we are as humans. So it's a real fun one. And we do get heady in a positive way. And I'm just incredibly excited to bring you this special episode that is sponsored by 23andMe. So check out the conversation with Andrew, and I will talk to you at the end of the episode.
You dove into my life via the internet, like many friendships that start these days. And once I started to become, aware of not only your background, but then the fact that you are such an unabashed fan of music, and it makes me so happy because I think that there's a lot of people that are maybe a little more like, oh yeah, like I like bands and stuff, but you're like, yo, I like bands.
Oh yeah.
And where does that come from? Like, is it just the fact that like whatever you've been into, you want to make sure like everybody knows that, not in an annoying way, or maybe an annoying way. I don't know, but
I mean, it depends. You know, I think for me, my dad was a big music fan growing up. He was actually just out here visiting, and it was so much fun to. I went and bought all these like used Yes records and Genesis records and stuff like that, because that was like what my dad. I grew up listening to that with my dad in the basement, and so I think I get the love of music. But my mom also loves music. Like, I just grew up around people that really liked it. But my dad is a nerd, sort of like I am, where you'll be listening to a song and he kind of does that like, oh, this part, you know? And so I think I think his own personal passion with music sort of informed me to feel comfortable like loving those little things. And honestly, I just think the coolest, so, you know, we're talking social media based here, like, absolutely. People could be like, oh, that's annoying or whatever, but that's literally the purpose of social media. And for myself personally, I value it so much because the amount of people that share music with me, it's fantastic. Like, people will just randomly DM me and be like, hey, check out my band. And I'm like, awesome, thank you. And sometimes it's just like a small EP that's super good or whatever. But for me, I'm like, social media is literally supposed to be social. It's not a one-sided thing like, hey, here's what I'm into. I love finding out what people are into. I love when people share stuff with me. I think it's a really fun process. But I just love music. I mean, it makes me feel so much. And because of that, I act very much on feeling as a human being. And so to be able to share that with someone and hope that someone else could maybe have that experience is so cool, you know?
Right. It's very valuable. I like what you articulated there in regards to it's like those little moments and those mm-hmm. things that get you hooked on whether it's a band or a song, or those are the things, because you, especially like you're talking about as a kid, you have no autonomy. I mean, yes, you're making some decisions on your own, but you are usually subjected to whatever it is your surroundings are. And to have that, prism that you're viewing it through of like, oh, my dad gets stoked at this drum part. Like, mm-hmm. okay. And then that's kind of where it goes from there, where you're like, okay, maybe I'll pay attention to drums first, because that's what I saw like my dad freaking out about, or my mom really gravitating towards.
Yeah. And I just think that the cool music is so cool because it connects people in different ways. This is like a silly story, but I'll never forget. Like, so when I got into like heavier music, it started off with Korn. And I remember I went to the Wall and bought like a, they sold it to me even though it had parental advisory, and I bought like a Korn tape, right? And I think I got Life is Peachy first. And I remember I was at the orthodontist office and I saw like our old neighbor, and he was like probably 10 years older than me. And he was like, hey man. And I was sitting next to my mom. He's like, what kind of music are you into? I was like, oh, I like, you know, like maybe heavier stuff. Or I was like, I really like Rage Against the Machine. And he was like, dude, have you ever heard of Korn? If you haven't, you need to listen. And I remember sitting on that couch with my mom next to me and being like, I can't say yes, I've heard of them, because then she'll know that I have this tape she doesn't know about. It's parental advisory. Totally. And so the coolest thing about music is anyone can connect on music, you know, like it doesn't matter. Like, I can talk to my dad about Genesis. I could talk to someone younger. I could talk to people about all kinds of stuff. And I love things that sort of break those barriers from like an age perspective, just because I do, you know, I love connecting with people that are older than me. And I think it's such a great segue into learning cool life lessons and stuff like that. So, I love that. I love that part of it all.
Yeah. And I think, and I know this sounds like just like the most cheesiest transition at all possible, but just like that's, and I think that's what, you know, I mean, what we're talking about, just like, you know, musical DNA, like human DNA, like the connectivity that you feel. And when you discover more, not only about yourself through, you know, these tests you do, whether it's like, okay, I'm going to sample this record and I'm going to not like that, but then I'm going to try this other record and I really like that. And it's not like you can articulate that. It's just that exactly what you're talking about, that reaction. But then at the same time, a whole community opens up if you are into that piece of music.
Yeah. And I feel like we're existing in such a cool moment right now. And I know I keep talking about social media, but working in the skateboarding industry, like we've seen so much cool connectivity about skateboarding and about, you know, different communities forming and sort of going against what has been the case in skateboarding, you know, and we really see it in like, you know, the queer skateboarding community and stuff like that. And it's so cool to see all these people connecting around stuff they're psyched on, you know, and you can be psyched on like whether it's, you know, like bedroom style rap or whatever it is, like there's, it's so cool that people can just be like, you know what, I'm interested in this, and they can put it out there in the world. People can connect on it and just be like, you can just make friends everywhere. And I just love that, you know?
Sure. And the, and to your point too, like the world becomes so much smaller. And when you have those common touch points, like you're talking about, whether you can relate to a person who's older, younger, it doesn't matter, you know, where they came from, anything, as long as you have that, that commonality of just like, oh yes, I like this band, I like this artist. So that's, that is your little entry point, and the world becomes so much smaller because of it.
Yeah. And I love that part. I think it's so much fun. I love being able to put out there the things that you're about, and then seeing other people that are like, whoa, I'm into all that same stuff. And then so quickly you can get together, like, you know, you and I like got together and went golfing and had fun and just talked. And it was just super enjoyable, you know, because you were like, oh, there's so many different connective points here. And it's like, all right, so we share a lot of these common ideologies. And, you know, I feel like when you are able to do that, it just, it allows for these really cool connections that you never would have had. And I think a big part of that is sort of being vulnerable and putting out there the things that you're psyched on, even if it's cheesy, or even if other people might be like, I don't know, that's whack. And you're like, it's just who I am. I'm kind of whack.
Right. Yeah. You're like, you know what? Can't change me, bro. This,
I'm not exactly sitting here trying to pretend I'm that cool. I'm just me, you know?
Totally, totally. And kind of on that topic, the once you started to get introduced to music that I guess wasn't your parents and wasn't being played on the radio, how did that transpire?
Oh man. It was always funny. Just my parents didn't understand it. They were not stoked on it. And it wasn't like they were bummed, but I'll never forget. I think I was in, I don't remember if it was like middle school or high school, but I was into all the like kind of the nu metal stuff that got introduced to me, you know, because I'm so envious of people that grow up now with Spotify and YouTube, because they can just find everything and go down crazy rabbit holes. I mean, I think there's something about the search that was really fun growing up, but you know, there's a lot of bands, like even like punk bands and stuff, where people will share it. And I'm like, I just never got into it when I was younger because I didn't have the CD. And so for me, it was, I think I started off getting into like punk stuff with like Descendants and stuff like that. And my parents were, they didn't mind all of that, but I think it was once I started getting into the louder sort of screamy stuff where they were like, I don't know about this. But I'll never forget, like, I wanted to go see Coal Chamber with some of my friends in high school. They had like a little nu metal band and stuff. And, my dad was just like, absolutely not. You are not going to that.
So you got shut down.
I got shut down. But I, you know, I was able to go to like hardcore shows and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing bands like Bane and Boy Sets Fire and stuff like that. And that, you know, really changed my life.
Sure, sure. And how was that stuff like coming into you? Because I know clearly skateboarding has been a very large part of your life as well. And so were you getting introduced to bands via that? Or was it kind of just like your group of friends that kept bringing records your direction?
It was a mixed bag. So like a really good example is the first time I ever heard Refused. And I had never heard music like Refused. And it was in a Woodward video. So I would go to Woodward camp. When I was like in middle school, I went a few times. I was like super lucky. And they would send you a video to get you psyched, like a VHS, like, hey, here's what happened last summer. Get ready for next summer. And I'll never forget. It was actually in like one of the BMX dirt jump sections. But they had New Noise by Refused. And the way his vocals were, I was like, I don't know what this is, but I think this is the best song I've ever heard in my entire life. And it blew my mind. So it was a little bit of a mix of some of the skate videos still had some punk stuff in it. And then I would just go to shows with people in our zone. And, you know, growing up in Westchester, Pennsylvania, like right around that area, It was pretty awesome for that. Like being able to go into Philadelphia with, you know, some of the older kids. And my parents were very trusting of me. And so I would get to go into Philadelphia, or I'd get to go to like, you know, like one of the Vets Hall shows or whatever in like Delaware, or, you know, the different zones in PA. And so I heard a lot of new bands that way too. Like Bane for me was a band that I hadn't really heard of, And I went to see Boy Sets Fire, and Bane opened up for them. And they're hands down one of my favorite bands of all time. And it, that like set that night, like changed my life completely, you know?
Right. Yeah. I love that notion of, you know, seeing an opening band that is just so unsuspect, like you have no clue. And then you see everyone else's reaction, and then you can't help but not be moved or, you know, want to engage in the art in some way. And yeah, just at that point, you're like, oh, so now I like this band as well as the band that I came to see.
And, you know, I'm sure just going to a bajillion shows and stuff like that, you've probably done the same. But like, at one point, I had to kind of remind myself, like, dude, you need to go and watch some of these new bands. Because, you know, my schedule gets crazy. So I would be like, okay, I'm going to go. I'll be there at, you know, 8:45. I'll watch this band for 45 minutes and then I'm going to go home, you know. But there is magic to going to see openers and stuff like that, to just get excited about new music. And, you know, you mentioned this, like just being excited about music. That's one thing that is so interesting to me. Like, I'll talk to some people that like hardcore or like metal, and it's so funny when they're like, I only listen to these records. I don't like to listen to new stuff. And I'm like, man, can you imagine being like, yeah, I only eat Pizza Hut pizza. It's just the only thing that I'll ever eat because it's what I've been eating for 20 years. And you're like, dude, there's so much better pizza out there, you know? Right. So it's kind of crazy to me the way that people shut that down, because the accessibility of music and the opportunities for people to learn how to play instruments and be influenced by so many different things. I mean, the music that is coming out right now is phenomenal, in my personal opinion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would totally. Just the idea of calcifying. I mean, to your point, it does take effort, and you have mm-hmm. to go through the deliberate choice of, you know, going to a show on time. Like you said, all of these things that you are, you know, you take for granted when you're young, because it's just like you have nothing but time.
Yeah.
And then when you have to actually put work into it, it honestly, to your exactly what you're saying, where I almost find more value out of it now, because I feel like there's more. Even though music is more easily accessible than it ever has been, there it still takes digging. You gotta know where to look, you know?
Yeah. But that's, again, and I go back to social media on just being this awesome opportunity for people to share. And it is so much fun to have somebody send you something. Or, you know, one of the things that I love is I follow all these people from bands that are super, you know, nice, or maybe I don't know them or whatever, but it is so cool when all of a sudden it's like 8 people are posting the same thing, and I'm immediately like, all right, I got to listen. And I think the last example of that was that, I think it's Foreign Hands.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Dude. Great band.
What a good album. Like,
yep.
It is so good. And so for me, I love that. Like, I love being able to sort of see what people are talking about and then go, oh, I'm going to dive in. Honestly, I think the person that has the like 10 out of 10 every time, and I haven't met Jeremy Balm, but he is like, his opinion on music in my personal, like from my personal view, I'm like, man, he just knocks it out of the park. Like, he's right. Such a big music guy that I haven't gone wrong with any suggestion he's put out there yet. You know,
right. You're like, you are my musical kindred spirit. Yeah. And I get where you're coming from. And yeah, no, it is fun to exactly what you're talking about, be able to navigate. And in the same way that, you know, back in the day, quote unquote, where it was like, you know, zine culture and people really focused on reviews. And once you started to follow a person's opinion, whether it was like a actual, you know, full zine that you were consuming from one person, or whether it was just like, oh, I really like this guy's reviews or this girl's reviews, like I'm going to follow along with that. It's the same idea, except now it's just, like you said, it's much easier to dip in and recommend music that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In my late teens, early 20s, I was burning the candle at both ends, like playing in a band, going to shows like almost every single night of the week. And I had friends and family being like, yo, you should chill out. Like, you know, you're just not only exhausted, but not giving the best version of yourself to me, to others, to people I was in relationships with. And I wish that someone would have been like, you know what? Hey, you should think about therapy, because I did that later on in life and it helped out tremendously. That is why I love working with BetterHelp. If you are thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is an amazing on-ramp for this. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And if you do not vibe with the therapist for whatever reason, you can switch it at no additional charge. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and boom, you're off and running. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ray.
So kind of on that similar topic where it's just, you know, you are discovering more of yourself and you are wanting to, you know, just be aware of obviously the world around you. When you got into, you know, skateboarding, I know you, you know, pursued it professionally, and obviously it's the industry that you've worked in for many years. When did you kind of start to, I guess, notice who you were as a person, you know, just as far as like, oh yeah, my general disposition is like, oh, I'm either, you know, mad or happy, like all of those, I guess, kind of emotions. When did you start to recognize that in yourself?
Honestly, I think it was probably in my 20s, but I'll never forget my good friend, Mike Leslie, when I was like 16, he was a filmer and he worked for the skate shop. And at one point he was like, honestly, dude, I know you're always happy and you're like stoked, but just so you know, like sometimes that comes off cocky to people. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I thought I was just being friendly, you know? So I think that I always knew that like my overall attitude was a little more positive than a lot of other folks out there. But sure. I would say that it probably wasn't until I was in my 20s. And you know, when I got sober, cause I drank, in my early 20s, and I've always had kind of a, not like a bad, I've just had a bad relationship with alcohol, and it wasn't who I was. And that was a big piece of like actually stopping drinking, was like, I don't love the person I become when I drink, because I'm far more proud of the person I am on a regular basis, like being positive and looking at the bright side and, you know, being nice. And when I drank, I was just a really selfish individual and I didn't like it. And so that was 12 years ago that I stopped drinking. But I think once that changed, it really helped me to like get in touch with myself and who I was. And then honestly, even in the last few years, just like doing therapy and stuff like that, helped me a lot with being more vulnerable. And because I was always the guy that you'd be like, hey, how are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. Things are good. And I had friends tell me like, you know, we'd catch up. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good now. Man, 6 months ago though, when we talked last, woof, I was in it. And they're like, yeah, but Andrew, when we talked 6 months ago, you said everything was fine. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I was in a tough spot or whatever. And so the last few years, like 3 or 4 years, I definitely have been working on being more open and vulnerable and sort of honest with my emotions. And so honestly, I would say even into my 30s, it really took me time to become the person that I am proud of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you know, that whatever that saying of it's not about the destination, it's the journey. And I, you know, that's a, whatever, a cliche, but at the same point, like that you always kind of gathering information about yourself, whether it's your own personal taste or whether it's like just the, you know, internal inventory that we all do, or you hopefully do on yourself. Cause like you said, there are definitely people that you meet and run across that just, you know, stick their head in the sand and it's just like, oh yeah, like whatever, it's, I'll get through it. And there's no internal audit. Like they're not honest with themselves first and foremost. And then in turn, it's not easy for them to be honest with others.
And it's not fun.
No, it's true.
It's not fun always, you know, I mean, it is super difficult, and really being able to like take that step back and look at yourself critically, you know, and you can also be kind to yourself and be like, oh, you know what? I do like this about myself and that is what makes me special or whatever. But it is not a fun process, but I highly recommend it for anyone out there who,
yeah.
Just because it is huge, you know, being able to be happy with yourself. I feel, you know, not to get way too deep, but it's like, man, we get one shot at this life. And it's a big reason why people are like, "Why, you do a lot of stuff, or you have a lot of hobbies or whatever." And I'm like, yeah, because I'm going to die. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be a point where I don't get to do anything. So I'm trying to suck the marrow out of life the best I can. You know,
of course, you're supposed to, you're Dead Poet Society-ing it.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's right. I just feel like that's the, we are all so fortunate to get to be here and living in this time. And I know there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world, and I'm not trying to put that aside, but when you step back and you're able to go, okay, what are the things that I can control within the scope of my life? It's like, man, it is magical that we're here right now and that we get to, you know, chat about life, and we get to go to concerts, and we get, like, I get to go skateboarding and talk about skateboarding for work. And, you know, it's like life is pretty amazing, you know, and we get to share so many wonderful things with people. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people struggle to connect with that just because there is so much going on. But that's where I do think like therapy and just kind of taking a look at your own life is really nice, because again, we're only here one time and our time frame is relatively limited. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. we have to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that was very articulately put, and I think that can dovetail nicely into the idea of just, you know, the DNA testing. And obviously, you know, one of the reasons why we're here chatting about this is because we both, you know, did the 23andMe test. And I'm sure there's a wide variety of reasons why people do that, whether it's, you know, they're curious about their ancestry or health or whatever the case may be. What was, I guess, your entry point to like wanting to do that in the first place? Was it just the fact that you wanted to discover more about, you know, your health and where you came from and stuff?
My ex-wife and I definitely we had talked about how cool it would be, you know? And so I think it was like a holiday. It was, and she was like, "Oh, I got us these kits." And I was like, "Sick, let's do this." And so we went through, like, we went and did the whole spit test, whatever. And then you get the results, and it was super fun because when I would talk to my parents about, like, "Oh, where are we from?" whatever, they'd be like, "Yeah, we're just like, you know, like Western European." And I was like, that's not a good answer. You know, I don't really know. So for me, it was really fun to take a look at this. I'm also really I'm personally really interested in, like all the personality test stuff and everything. I'm like, I want to know what makes me tick. And I want to know, like, okay, what am I? Why do I feel certain things? And there's so much cool information out there, you know, right. that can help you to kind of like, when you do look at yourself from like a bigger picture standpoint to grow and stuff, it's like, it's fun to take those tests and stuff. So the 23andMe thing was a really good example of being able to be like, oh, let me look at some of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, right. No, and I think it's really, it's engaging no matter which way you look at it, whether it is, like you said, just the, you know, kind of ancestry, or whether it's just the idea of what more information can I find out about myself that can lead me to, you know, become a better person, or just frankly know more about the way that I internally tick. Because, you know, to your point of, in regards to, you know, watching your dad react to music, like, there is that idea of, you know, environment versus, you know, inherited genetics. And all of that mixes into a stew together that makes us as human beings.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can actually, like, literally take a test that tells you these things, where it's like, oh, wow, like, I had no idea that, you know, I might be, you know, predisposed to like restless leg syndrome or whatever. It's like, it's not, does it worry me? No, it's just, I'm like, oh, well, that's a heads up. Like, I can talk to the doctor about that.
Yeah. Like, I annoy so many people with my stupid leg. It's like, you know, it's nothing personal, gang. It's literally how I'm wired.
No, totally. It's just those things that you find out that there is no way in hell prior to this that you would ever be able to like point definitively at and be like, oh, I took a test and like, this is what it told me. And it's just like, and yeah, not definitively, but to a point where it's just like, now you have that information and you could do with it what you will. And yeah. That's unbelievable. Probably in the same way that, you know, I connect the idea of us getting influenced by, you know, music. And once we started to, you know,
get introduced to ideas of, you know, straight edge and veganism and vegetarianism. And like, that is all part of the same, like, sort of self-improvement journey that I think people go on.
100%. Absolutely. And the more you know about yourself, and I think there's also like a bit of peace to a lot of that stuff too. Like, you know, when I started learning about brain types and when I did like, we have these, like PI, I think they're called personality index things we did for work. And like, you learn all this stuff about yourself and it's sort of, sometimes it takes like the burden away of like, man, why is it that I just struggle with like staying on task or whatever? And then when you get into it and it's like, oh, your brain does this well, or you do this well, but you're not so great at this. Not to say that it gives you a crutch, but it sort of allows you to give yourself a little bit of grace and go, oh, okay, that's not me. Like maybe I personally am not doing this to myself. It's literally how I'm wired or whatever. And then from there, you're like, cool, maybe there's steps I can take to change that, you know?
For sure. I mean, you hit that nail on the head where it's like the more information that you have, you know, the better you are to be able to either, like you said, address the problem, correct it, you know, be able to augment the way that you live your life if it is something that, you know, you do want to work on and change. And it's like there, but yeah, it's like I just think of the idea. I think it's so funny how this test gets so specific where it's like, oh yeah, you're less likely to match a musical pitch. And
I was are you less likely or more likely?
I am less likely, which is so funny because I mean, of course, like the joke is like, yeah, you scream for a hardcore band. Of course you can't, you can't match a musical pitch. But like reading that really, you know, informed the fact that it's like, yes, there are times where like I literally tried to sing and I could not, like I could not, I so distinctly remember where it was like Taken was recording, we were recording our last EP in like 2004 before we, you know, broke up. And there on these demos of certain songs, I was singing and a lot of it was, you know, auto-tuned was placed on it. And it was, I just remember being in the vocal booth and just like beating the hell out of myself. I mean, you know how fun it is to record vocals. It's awful.
Yeah.
Worse. And just beating myself up for like not being able to hold a particular note. And then I just... It would just be so great to like go back in time and be like, hey guys, I got this report that tells me it's a little bit harder for me to hit this pitch.
You're like, oh, it all makes so much sense now. Well, you know, we put out a little EP not long ago. And it was the first time that I had ever tried to sing like on a thing. And I love singing. Like I will sing all day long. If we're in a, like, I'll pop into a meeting and just start singing about what we're doing. Like, cause I'm just a goof.
Right.
But it was the first time actually trying to do it in like a studio setting. And, so I recorded with, Zach Rippey out here in Arizona. And he was so rad in the process because he was so helpful in like getting me to where we needed to be. But man, singing versus yelling is such a different beast.
Totally.
Like, you're like, oh wow, that like actually sucked. Whereas like yelling, you're like, I don't know, did it sound like pissed enough? Like,
right. Different. Is this, yeah. Right. Is this, am I actually doing this into the mic loud enough? Like, what are we talking about here? Do I, yeah, like you said, do I sound pissed enough?
It's so funny, man. It's, I always, and I don't know about you, but I've only gone and recorded vocals because getting into like an actual band for me was a later in life process, but part right. of that, like, what do I want to do before I die kind of thing. And so I've only recorded a couple times. We recorded the first album that I was on with Worship in up in Oakland with Scott Evans, who is such a wonderful human being. And so he was super helpful in like helping me understand like how to do the recording part. But man, it was so funny. I'll never forget like walking into his studio and just seeing all this stuff and how like nice and fancy things were. And then being like, I'm just going to yell into that microphone. Like, what am I doing? This is right. so insane. Like there are people that have phenomenal voices doing this stuff. And I'm literally like, ah, so
right.
It's just like comedy, you know?
Oh, it totally is. It totally is. And something else I found funny in regards to, you know, the particular test traits that it, you know, identifies, where it's just like wake up time. I found that so interesting. That
what's yours?
Yeah, mine, it said in the report that it was around 7 a.m. I wake up earlier than that, but I wonder if at some point that if you know, depending on when in your life you take the test, would it give a different result? Like, you know, if you're taking it when you're like, you know, 21, it's like, oh yeah, I sleep in like 10 a.m. wake up. But I just, yeah. So what was yours?
I have 8:04 a.m., which doesn't actually feel super off. I mean, I like to get up early, but that's not my natural thing. Like,
right.
I used to be like a night owl, and but I love going to bed and getting up early and kind of like kicking the day's ass if I can. So like for me, I'm like, nothing good for me happens after 10 p.m. You know right. what I mean? Like that's like literally when you're like going down some kind of an internet rabbit hole that you're just like, even just like, oh man, I was up till 3 a.m. searching for bands. And it's like, dude, get off of the Wikipedia page. It doesn't right. matter. Go to bed, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I definitely get up earlier. But I thought that was interesting because if I went to bed at say between 10 and 11, I would probably wake up right around that time.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Right. It's like if everything worked out according to plan.
Yeah.
But I mean, I did find it engaging because it's like, even if, you know, that wasn't accurate, it was that idea that, oh, this does like 7 a.m. still by most stretches of the imagination from a normal person perspective. That's like, you know, a little bit earlier. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just comparing our reports where it's just like, oh, yeah, like I wake up an hour earlier than you, Andrew.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And there you go, man. I'm done. It's lazy over here.
Yeah, you're super lazy.
So I have to ask you a question about it because this one
please.
I thought was super fun. Did you check your Neanderthal DNA?
I did check my Neanderthal DNA.
What's your result?
And I think, well, because it quantified it from a percentage perspective,
yeah.
right? Yeah. And I want to say, I want to say it was around like 18% or something like that.
Like
yeah,
you had more Neanderthal DNA than 18% of other customers?
Yes. I think that was it. So pretty Neanderthal heavy, I think.
No, that's pretty. I think
that's light.
Yeah. Because, okay. Dude, hey, Andrew. You have more Neanderthal DNA than 94% of other customers. I'm a fucking animal, dude. Like, no matter how you slice it, it's like, oh, it's Andrew. He's got a lot of Neanderthal in him. Don't worry about it. Like,
dude, so good.
That's, is he over there flinging his own poop? He's Neanderthal. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. he skews Neanderthal. It's cool. You're good.
That one made me laugh so hard when I saw it. And I was just like, okay.
Right. All right. Like, good to know. Yeah. It's like there's, you know, to that point of just like, there are certain bits of information that are just like, cool to know. It's not like there's anything that you can do to change that. It's like, all right, that's good to know.
Yes. Yes. What was weird to me was like looking through them, and they're just like small, silly things, but like the ring finger versus like index finger. Like, yeah, my ring finger is way longer than my index finger, and like toe stuff. I just think stuff like that is fun. Like, what does it say? It's like, likely at least a little unibrow. And it's like, God damn it. How did you know? Like,
totally.
Like, why you gotta call me out like that? You know?
Yeah. And I think too, like it really, many times, like, especially if you take it at an age where you are, you know, a little more comfortable in your own skin rather than, you know, maybe your early 20s or whatever, just that idea that a lot of this stuff isn't, necessarily like that revelatory. You're like, oh yeah, that tracks like that.
Yeah.
That adds up. It's like, okay, that makes sense. But then there are certain things that are just like, wow, first of all, I would never know that about myself. And secondly, like, oh, wow, I guess that is me. I just never thought about it in those terms.
What about your fear of public speaking?
I was no fear whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was like, I was totally comfortable. No problem whatsoever. What was yours?
Mine was mine definitely said like less likely to have a fear of public speaking, which is
right. Yes, less likely. That was
yeah. And I'm yeah. like, yeah, no, I'm
yeah, we're
not
good.
Scared of that at all.
Totally. Yeah. It's like we're good there. If we could get up there on stage and, you know, yell into a microphone in front of strangers, like, you know, I think there's something there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were going to ask a question. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, there's a lot of those things on there that are kind of like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's cool. But for me, truthfully, the actual ancestry composition, I thought was very cool. I don't know if like, I'm curious what yours was.
Yeah, mine, it didn't necessarily surprise me as well, kind of going along to what I was saying, where it's like, oh, that tracks. But yeah, it was definitely Irish and Polish. That's where my ancestry kind of comes from that perspective. And so, but it was interesting because there were certain aspects of my family, like I am Raymond Edward Harkins the third, mm-hmm. my son's the fourth, and my Raymond Edward Harkins the first, he was adopted. And so there were certain, like, we generically speaking knew where his ancestry sort of came from, and it was validated by this report. But at the same time, it was like, well, you know, there's not any records beyond him, you know, kind of starts there.
That is very cool. Like that, yes. That aspect of it, I feel like is so rad to be able to dive in on. I definitely, like, when I got mine back, it was like, okay, I'm 70.9% British and Irish. But what was interesting was I was like, oh, wow, I'm like 21.8% Polish. And I didn't know that. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And also, you know, I don't mean to speak ill of my parents because they probably told me a bunch of this stuff. But I was so, like, when I was younger, I was so like, I just want to go skateboarding and listen to me. I don't know. I don't care where I'm from. Like, I'm from Pennsylvania. What do you mean? But it's been such a fun thing to learn about that stuff as you get older. And, you know, I did the thing where you can kind of track your relatives and look at your family tree. Uh-huh. And, you know, so, you know, us talking about doing this podcast was a really fun opportunity for me to kind of get in the weeds a little bit on this stuff. And like, again, because I did this a while ago, so it was fun to crack it open and look at these things and be like, whoa, this is kind of wild, actually. Like, looking at the family tree and seeing who's in there from my family that's taken the test. And it was cool.
Yeah. So I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. I mean, I took my test about, it was probably maybe 2 years ago, but it was one of those things where as you started to, you know, poke around and take those quizzes and like travel even further down that, you know, path of knowledge within the test that you did, it really, honestly, I just can't, and this is such a cheesy thing to say, but it's just like, you know, knowledge is power. And just that idea of understanding more about yourself and your predisposition to certain things and not liking certain things. And it just all, like, I found the alcohol flush test result where it was like, I wouldn't turn red if I drink. And I'm like, I literally would never know that because I've like never personally drank. Like, I mean, I drank when I was like, you know, 14 or something, but I've never been drunk in my whole life. Yeah. And so for me to read that, I was like, oh, I never would have known that otherwise.
No, it's cool. I think, what about, do you do caffeine or do you not caffeine?
I do caffeine, yes.
So are you likely to consume more or no?
I was right on average, but it didn't, I was surprised because I do feel like, I mean, I think I have about like 4 cups of coffee a day. I don't think it's wildly out of whack, but I definitely think it's on the higher side.
Mine is definitely likely to consume more, which sounds about right. Cause I feel like just as a human being, like I'm an alcoholic, but I think a huge piece of that is because I never did drugs and I'm so thankful because whatever I would have done, I probably would have just been like, yup, that's what I love that. And so, for me, I'm always curious if there's like things in here that are just like, oh, you're just like a sort of like a pleasure addict, you know what I mean? Like whether it's working out or skateboarding or, you know, like music or what, it's like you just consume things at a high level, you know, in general. And I find that to be very interesting.
Right. Totally. And on that same notion of just like the more you know about yourself, like I, you know, tie that directly back into when we started to discover music and trains of thought that were either contradictory to what we had been told or were a completely different point of view. Cause like, I know, I mean, you mentioned Rage Against the Machine, and I know for myself, that was so revelatory because it was this, you know, I mean, yes, of course the music was sick and unbelievable, but then the idea that they were speaking about other people's experiences that first of all, did not look like me or were from a completely different part of the world. And then that just like cracked my head open, where I was like, oh, so not everybody is raised in a, you know, upper middle class suburb. It was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Totally. And where I'm from in Pennsylvania is like, you know, very much like an upper middle class area. You know, and it's also very like very predominantly white overall. At least it was when I was growing up, you know? So it was like, it was interesting to hear about all those different experiences from, you know, people through music. And, you know, and then obviously traveling makes such a huge difference as well, as like the actual impact of all of those things and seeing them and going, oh, okay, like this is life, you know? But music opening that door and that sort of allowing you to question things was like really huge. I mean, I'll never forget. I mean, I spent a long time as an atheist, like it's literally high school. Mm-hmm. I remember like I was listening to Slayer a lot, and I just was like, what, you know, like what is up? You know, obviously it gets you questioning religion and all that stuff. And then I remember I became an atheist because at one point I remember trying to like pray before bed, and I just was like, I don't understand what I'm doing. What, like, what is happening?
Right.
Cause I was raised Catholic, like very loosely. We were kind of like Creaster people, but, it was interesting because all of the music sort of changed that stuff for me. And then what's really funny is the music sort of brought me back around. Not because I'm religious now. And I know that even saying I listen to any Joe Rogan is like, ooh, hot button. But sure. I listened to the Ray Capo Joe Rogan. And I'm not personally like a big Youth of Today fan. But I was just really interested in his whole deal as like kind of a yogi and stuff like that. And I know that like people get bummed on him for breaking edge, bro. But but I'm just like, whatever, man. He's a human being. He has his own experience. Yep. But what was really interesting was the way that they talked about religion. And like I think they were talking about like Ganesh or something like that. And he's like, so you really believe that? And Ray's deal was, he was like, I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying maybe. And so
right, the possibility.
And that blew my mind. And so in that, like this was literally a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, whenever that came out. And it kind of had me like take a step back and go, you know what? Instead of saying I believe in nothing, I sort of changed my attitude to being like, you know what? I'm comfortable with everything. And it doesn't mean that I necessarily believe it all, but I think for myself, it allowed me to open myself up to, as corny as it sounds, like the universe in a different way, and be comfortable saying, you know, maybe there are certain things that kind of come together and they maybe happen for a reason or whatever. And I don't love the idea of like fate, because I like the idea of human choice and stuff like that. But I do think that there is a lot of when people come to, this is going to sound weird, but you've seen Donnie Darko, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that part in Donnie Darko where they have those crazy things coming out of them, right?
Oh, yeah,
and like
sure.
Leading them around. I always think about, you know, sometimes you end up in a really cool conversation or you meet someone that like you hit it off with really quickly and you're like, wow, we're going to be lifelong friends now. And it's always so interesting to kind of like when you take a step back to go, man, the fact that the two of us are right now having this conversation with all of our life experiences and they all brought us to this point, like the fact that we're talking right now about this stuff is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the amount of stuff that had to come together to get us to this point is nuts.
It is like just the simple, you know, addition of all of these extenuating circumstances that will lead you to this exact point is just like, I mean, it obviously that's why we only use a portion of our brains, because I think if we used more, like we would not even be able to function. Because like you have to have that cognitive dissonance to be like, I'm not thinking about every moment being just like, oh my gosh, like I can't even believe I'm here.
Yeah,
you'd be crippled.
But I'm such like a I'm such a sort of like I don't know, feely person, whatever. I'm like, I love to do that stuff. Like I love to take a step back and appreciate the moments and appreciate the things that are happening, because again, and I don't mean to sound morbid, but it's like you never know when you're gonna go. And so if you can wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I'm stoked to be here. And even if your day is a little crazy and you can fall asleep going, you know what? Even if today was a little tough, I'm thankful to be here. You know?
I still did it. Right.
Yeah. Like, I think there's something really, really special about all of that. So,
yeah, I agree. The last thing I want to hit on was the idea that, you know, I know both you and I are, you know, have experimented and currently are, you know, vegan, vegetarian. And like that connective tissue between understanding the, you know, health reports that you get from this and just understanding like likes and dislikes. Like I love the cilantro.
Yeah, I laugh about that one because it is such a huge, like that's a tough one right there, man.
Totally, totally.
What's yours? People,
yeah, I was less likely to consume it, so which is accurate because I personally don't like I do a little bit of cilantro, but not to the point where I'm like, you know, it has to be on everything.
So mine is inaccurate because mine says that I think it says I'm, let's see here, slightly higher odds of disliking cilantro.
Okay,
nah, I am like put it everywhere. I'm like, my blanket is made out of cilantro. You know, I'm just like, yep, I want to just wrap myself up in it. So that one for me was not correct. But what about the asparagus one? Because that one's another funny one.
The asparagus, I can't remember exactly. Yeah, I do. I think it was accurate in the fact that I was less likely to consume that. Again, I eat asparagus.
Can you smell it in your pee? That's the big one. It's, can you smell it in your pee?
I absolutely can when I consume it. That is reality.
Yes. Mine is, your genetics make the likely to be able to smell the asparagus odor in your urine.
It's perfect. Like, it's so, so good. Well, yeah, and speaking of vegetables, just like the idea of understanding your health and then making, you know, choices around that and consulting with, you know, doctors, physicians, everything that you should go through when you're making these changes. But the idea of us arriving to those conclusions through a myriad of influences, like for us, obviously via music and stuff like that. But then, you know, so how did you connect the idea of, you know, you going on the, you know, vegan vegetarian road in general?
So for me, I mean, it all started early on because Destroy the Machines, Earth Crisis. I remember being in middle school and listening to that album. I bought it. I think I might have, my uncle would like take me to Philadelphia randomly and we would go do stuff. We went and bought some CDs. And I remember I bought, I think, Earth Crisis, Destroy the Machines, and then I bought Shai Hulud, A Profound Hatred of Man. And both of those super important bands to me. But Earth Crisis, you know, it was at the time where I would sit and read the lyrics and all that stuff. And I was like, whoa, okay, what is all this? What's veganism? This is wild, you know, because my mom's from the Midwest. My dad is from outside Philadelphia. It was very much meat and potatoes. And as I've gotten older, we've laughed at just like, I'll order food and they're just like, where did you come from? You know, because they're literally like, yeah, we'll just have the pork chops and the mashed potatoes and that, and, you know, and a beer. Yep. And I'm like, excuse me, can I please do this? And can you make it really spicy? And they're just like, my dad's like, I can't even have spice. He's like, my bald spot sweats, you know? So,
right.
So it was Earth Crisis kind of planted the seed way, way, way back, but it was not reasonable for me. I didn't think at the time to become like a vegetarian or anything like that. And then, so when I went to college, my ex-wife was a vegetarian since she was young. And at some point I just kind of was like, oh, I'm going to become a vegetarian, you know?
Yep.
And so I remember I was maybe it was around when I was 28 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't even, honestly, it was somewhere in my 20s, maybe 26, whatever. I was in Las Vegas and I was out there announcing a Do Tour event. And we stayed and did a skateboarding trip afterwards. And I had driven out because it was so close to Phoenix. And I saw one of those buses drive by that has like the advertisement. And it was like Slayer playing at, you know, one of the casinos. And I was like, oh, that's like the day after our trip ends. And my birthday was coming up. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get a hotel room because Vegas is so inexpensive. And I'm going to see if I can buy a Slayer ticket. And so I went and saw Slayer alone in Vegas. And beforehand, I went out to dinner. I think I went to like TGI Fridays or something. And I got like chicken fingers. And I took a bite and I got one of those real chewy bits. And I had been toying with the idea of like, maybe I'll become a vegetarian, because Charlie Thomas was the World Industries team manager. And that's who I skated for. And he was a vegan. So he was like, you know, really helpful for me and like dietary change and also just like my drinking and stuff like that. Like he was a really good role model just for like active and healthy living, because he was older and he ripped. And I was like, I want to be able to skate like Charlie when I get older. And so I stopped eating meat that night and I never had it again. And then I became vegan maybe a year later. And it was one of those like, I was vegan at home and vegetarian on the road, because when I was doing skate trips, I was like, well, I want to be able to just like eat cheese pizza, whatever. And then it just became this ethical thing for me where I just was like, you know, I can't do that anymore. I'm not allowed to just like give myself a pass. And so there was like a January 1st, like, all right, I'm just going to officially be vegan. And then the only thing that took some time was suede, giving that up because of skate shoes. And I think maybe I went like, I don't even know if it was like 6 months. And I was like, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. What kind of a, I can't be that. And then, so once I gave that up, it was like, okay, here we go. And it was a, so that's been a big thing for me, just because trying to find vegan skate shoes is a little bit of a process.
Sure.
But a lot of the companies are doing a really great job now. And it's fun. So I do these little like vegan shoe reviews on YouTube, just because I think it's such an important thing for to have information on like what products are actually good, you know?
Totally. Yeah, no, it's cool. And you explaining that process is exactly what I think, you know, most people need to do as they're approaching life in general, is just like explore, find what you're comfortable with, you know, find out more about yourself. Because only with that information would you be able to make that educated decision to be like, yes, I am going to do this, or no, I am not going to do this.
What's interesting to me, and I have a feeling you and I are on the same page in this, but what's so interesting to me is when people like sort of start out for ethical reasons or whatever, and then they kind of like, you're like, oh, how come you stopped being vegan or whatever? And they're like, well, my doctor told me that I shouldn't or whatever. And I'm always just like, I mean, hey, everyone can do their thing. But for me, I'm like, it's just an ethical thing. Like, I don't want to hurt animals, so therefore, I'm not going to do that. And even if a doctor was like, you know, Andrew, I think you should be eating red meat, I'd be like, that's cool. I'm not going to, you know?
Totally.
Just because I think at some point you kind of get the, no pun intended, like, you know, wool out from over your eyes, and you're like, oh, okay, this is really not a cool thing. So everyone can make their own decisions, and I'm always a personal fan of like when people are like, you know what? I would go vegan one day a week or whatever. I'm like, that's awesome. It all helps. And I think we, and I will say this about a lot of vegan culture. A lot of people are real uppity, and that's totally fine. But also it's like, keep in mind, it's your own decision, and try not to push yourself on others. Because I mean, man, even at one point I remember, on social media, I posted my friend David Gravett. He was catching a fish, you know, catch and release. Mm-hmm. And I got like multiple DMs from people that were just like, I cannot believe you would do this. And I'm just like, don't you judge, like, get out of here. Get off your high horse, man. Like, my friend is psyched. Like,
right.
Go away. And it's just because I feel like, you know, look, if you're doing it because you want to get on the high horse, like, that's fine. But I'm not that person. I don't care about that. People can do whatever they want. But
yeah,
for me, totally. And I'll happily talk with anyone about it, because it's small changes that make a big difference. You don't have to stop eating meat completely or dairy or whatever if you don't want to. But if you skip a meal, that helps, you know?
Totally. Every incremental change, no matter how small, it does, you know, it adds up to literally us talking here right now at this very moment.
Yeah. little bits just make changes. You know.
Exactly. Well, dude, Andrew, thank you so much for going on this philosophical fun ride.
Absolutely, that was a lot of fun. Sorry, I got all getting all deep on you, man.
That's exactly what this is all about, man. There's only one way to go, and that's deep. As far
absolutely.
As I'm concerned,
I'm with you on that.
There we go. That was that, and I really, really, genuinely want to thank Andrew Cannon for coming on this episode with me and enjoying the the conversation that we had, because it was, like I said, it was a little bit less than conventional, but I was really excited to, just pick his brain and get into this whole thing that is only made in part because of the sponsored episode that is this. And thank you very much to 23andMe. So if you are curious about anything at all about this particular episode, you can go to 23andme.com. You can find all of their testing capabilities. And done it before, wholeheartedly recommend it. So thank you very much to 23andMe. Thank you very much, Andrew Cannon. And until next time, be safe, everybody.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.